You are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations, available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ Jesus, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. We graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 187, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3. We'll read number 15 today, Jesus in Dan and Ornithopolis. As Jesus, with the apostles and disciples, was making the journey from Capernaum to Cana and Sidessa, I saw him in the region of Giscala, placing the 12 in three separate rows and revealing to each his own peculiar disposition and character. Peter, Andrew, John, James the Greater, and Matthew stood in the first row. Thaddeus, Bartholomew, James the Less, and the other disciple, Barsabbas, in the second. Thomas, Simon, Philip, and Judas Iscariot in the third. Each heard his own thoughts and hopes revealed to him by Jesus, and all were strongly affected. Jesus delivered at the same time a lengthy discourse upon the hardships and sufferings that awaited them, and on this occasion he again made use of the expression, "Among you there is a devil." The three different rows establish no subordination among the apostles one to another. The 12 were classed merely according to their disposition and character. Joseph Barsabbas stood foremost in the row of the disciples and nearest to the 12. Consequently, Jesus placed him also in the second row with the apostles and revealed to him his hopes and fears. On this journey, Jesus further instructed the 12 and the disciples exactly how to proceed in the future when healing the sick and exorcising the possessed, as he himself did in such cases. He imparted to them the power and the courage always to effect by imposition of hands and anointing with oil what he himself could do. This communication of power took place without the imposition of hands, though not without a substantial transmission. They stood around Jesus, and I saw rays darting toward them of different colors, according to the nature of the gifts received and the peculiar dispositions of each recipient. They exclaimed, "Lord, we feel ourselves endued with strength. Thy words are truth and life." And now each knew just what he had to do in every case in order to effect a cure. There was no room left for either choice or reflection. After that, Jesus, with all his disciples, arrived at Elsus, a place distant from Capernaum, 1.5 hours. There, in the synagogue, he delivered the sermon of the Sabbath in which reference was made to the building of Solomon's temple. I remember that he addressed the apostles and disciples as the workmen who were to fell the cedars on the mountain and prepare them for the building. He spoke also of the interior adornment of the temple. The services over, at which many Pharisees were in attendance, Jesus was invited to dine. The meal was taken on a house of public entertainment. Many people stood around during it, to hear what Jesus was saying, and numbers of the poor were fed. The Pharisees, having remarked that the disciples had not washed their hands before coming to table, asked Jesus why his disciples did not respect the prescriptions of their forefathers and why they did not observe the customary purifications. Jesus responded to their question by asking why they themselves did not keep the commandments, why, with all their traditions, they did not honor their father and mother, and he reproached them with their hypocrisy and their vain adherence to external purification. During this dispute, the meal came to an end. Jesus, however, continued to address the crowd that pressed around him. Hear ye and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but what cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples who had remained behind in the entertainment hall told Jesus that these words of his had greatly scandalized the Pharisees. To which he responded, Every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind and leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both fall into the pit. When on the following evening Jesus was closing the Sabbath instruction, the Pharisees again reproached him on account of the irregular mode of the disciples' fasting. But Jesus retorted by charging them with their avarice and want of mercy. Among other things, he said, The disciples eat after long labor, and then only if others are supplied. But if these latter are hungry, they give them what they have, and God blesses it. Here, Jesus recalled the multiplication of the loaves, on which occasion the disciples had given their bread and fish to the hungry multitude. And he asked the Pharisees whether they would have done the same. From Elsus, Jesus went with the apostles and disciples through Cedes Naphtali to Dan, called also Laius or Lescum. Cedes Naphtali was a stronghold and a Levitical city built of black shining stone. On the way, Jesus instructed his followers, his subject always being prayer. He explained the Our Father. He told them that in the past they had not prayed worthily, but like Esau, had asked for the fat of the dew of heaven, for spiritual gifts, for the blessing of spiritual illumination, for the kingdom according to the will of God, and not for one in accordance with their own ideas. He reminded them that even the heathens themselves did not petition for temporal goods alone, but also for those of a spiritual nature. The city of Dan, situated at the base of a high mountain range, covered a wide extent owing to the fact that every one of its houses was surrounded by a garden. All the inhabitants were engaged in garden tillage. They raised fruits and aromatic plants and of all kinds, also calamus, myrrh, balsam, cotton, and many sweet-scented herbs, which formed the staple of their trade with Tyre and Sidon. The pagans of Dan were more mixed up with the Jews than in other cities. Although this region was so delightful and fertile, yet there were many sick in it. Jesus put up with the disciples at one of his own inns, situated in the heart of the city. The apostles and disciples had established it when on their last mission here. Counting the apostles, the disciples with Jesus at this time amounted to 30. They who had already been here and to whom consequently the inhabitants applied led Jesus around to the different sick. The rest of the disciples scattered among the surrounding places. Peter, John, and James strayed with Jesus, who went about from house to house healing the sick. He cured the dropsical, the melancholy, the possessed, several slightly affected with leprosy, the lame, and especially numbers of the blind, the others with swollen cheeks and limbs. The blindness so prevalent came from the sting of a little insect that infested this country. Jesus pointed out an herb with whose juice he bade them anoint their eyes in order to prevent the insect from stinging them. He gave to them also a moral application of its meaning. The swellings, which became inflamed and produced gangrene that ended in the death of many thus afflicted, were likewise caused by little insects like mildew that were blown away from the trees. They were grayish black like chimney soot and were borne like a dense black cloud through the air. The insect bit into the skin and raised a large swelling. Jesus pointed out another insect, which was to be crushed and applied to the bite. He told them in future to make use of it in similar cases. It had 15 little points on the back, as large as an ant's egg, and it could roll itself up into a ball. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. What we hear today is accounts of Jesus's ministry that are not all that contained in the Gospels. This is kind of the addition that Anne Catherine Emmerich and her writings supply us. Jesus is spending time with his apostles. He divides them into separate rows and revealing to each his own peculiar disposition and character. I think we would probably call this charisms. What is the charism of each of these people? What are their gifts that Jesus has given to them that they might use for the greater honor and glory of God? It says that each heard his own thoughts and hopes revealed to him by Jesus, and all were strongly affected. Well, imagine you're out with your friends. Let's say you're at a restaurant. Maybe you're enjoying some cocktails, ordered an appetizer, you're waiting to be seated, and Jesus all of a sudden is before you. And he's going to tell you your thoughts and your hopes. Do you know your thoughts or hopes? Would you be surprised by what Jesus would say? Does Jesus know something that you do not know yourself? Do you think your thoughts and hopes would align with the thoughts and hopes that Jesus would identify? It's really a good question for us to meditate upon and to mull over. It also says that many people stood around during the public entertainment to hear what Jesus was saying, and numbers of the poor were fed. Well, what do you think this scene looks like? Is this Jesus speaking publicly and everybody is listening to him? Or is this Jesus speaking to four people in the corner of a room and there's a few people who are standing at bay that are trying to listen to Jesus and what he's saying to them, and they're just trying to understand him? They're observing him. They're listening as best as they can. You've done that, haven't you, with other people? Two people are talking and you kind of suspect what they're speaking about, and so you try to attentively listen while being at an arm's distance away from them. We have this experience. The greater question would be is what they hear Jesus saying, do they allow that to change them? The very end of our reading, we hear about those insects and different things that come about because of insects. How one was to be crushed and applied to the bite of the other. It's kind of one of those marvels of creation. Why does God allow these insects that affect us? You know, it's that joke, why didn't Noah kill the two mosquitoes on the ark? Maybe it's to help us realize that every little creature has a purpose given to it by God. This brings us to a close of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Please share this podcast with others. Share it with your family, text it to your friends, send a message out to your prayer group. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to join you so that you can have holy conversations with them about these writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.